Welcome to the PR Moment podcast. Produced in association with the Marketeers Network.
Welcome to the latest PR Moment podcast. On the show today, we're going to be talking about what skills does a modern PR leader require? And to talk about that, we've got Will Hart, who is the CEO of PR Moment Leaders. Before becoming CEO of PR Moment Leaders, Will was Group MD of Unlimited Group. And before that, he was Managing Director of Nelson Bostock for about 10 years. He joined PR Moment in January this year to lead its subscription training program for senior agency directors, as I say, PR Moment Leaders. You can find out more about PR Moment Leaders from a link we will include in the show notes. And more those details include the details of the first semester of masterclasses, which has just been released. And as a little teaser of those, the first semester of masterclasses, we've got Rachel Bell, who's founder of Brand Spanking, talking about how to build and develop your agency business. Shiraz Golsha, co-founder of People Like Us and Braver, is going to talk about how to improve the diversity, inclusion and retention of PR teams. Kate McGettigan, who's founder at Fine Lines, is going to be talking about how to lead your pitches more effectively. Adrian Talbot, who's CFO at Miroma Group and formerly at Hotwire, will talk about the financial controls you need to manage a modern PR team. And Frankie Corrie, who's ex-CEO at W, will talk about how to build a great agency team. Bruce McLaughlin, who's Director of Consumer Communications at an international at Amazon, will talk about what is the contribution of comms in a modern corporate world. And Sean O'Keefe and Holly Clark from Mars Wrigley will chat about, well, also, I should say, give a masterclass about what does a great agency client partnership look like. Now, if you're interested in that, or that sounds like the sort of thing you might be interested in, do take a look at PR Moment Leaders. You can find all the details of PR Moment Leaders from the homepage of prmoment.com. Before we start this podcast, I should thank our PR Moment podcast sponsors, the PRCA, for all their support. Will, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Ben. Good to be here.
Absolute pleasure to have you on. Now, I should add, yes, we did a research partnership with the good folks at CensusWire, didn't we? And we kind of did that before we launched PR Moment Leaders, just to make sure that we were plotting our course in the right direction. And that quantitative research, I should say, was basically looking at the attributes of modern PR leaders, wasn't it? What were your top five trends coming out of that research?
Yeah, no, that's exactly right, Ben. And I think it was very much a sort of a sanity checking exercise because, you know, I certainly know I felt what I believe to be the case. And I guess it wasn't rocket science what came out of it, but it very much validated what I thought would be the case. So, you know, that's good to know that we're sort of that we've started PR Moment Leaders on the correct understanding. And there's some interesting stuff came out of it. Some of it very unsurprising, some of it more surprising. I guess we surveyed people who self-identified as being in leadership positions in the PR agency world. They were mostly female and mostly between sort of 35, 50 years old. So very much the sort of, you know, director level people in the agency world. And the top five findings, first one, unsurprising, actually, they really believe in themselves as being very good at core PR work. They own the agency culture. They feel they're good at that, and I'm sure they are. And they have confidence in their ability to run teams, to manage clients, to deliver campaigns and to win new business. So around the core set of skills, I think they're rightly identifying that they're great at what they do.
Great. Well, that's reassuring because I had a theory, which I don't think I believe anymore, that PR people quite often, yeah, it's always only there's plenty of exceptions, but quite often they lack a bit of confidence. But it's pleasing to hear that from the research anyway, that didn't come across. What was the second trend?
Yeah, the second trend was, maybe we'll come back to the confidence point, but they life, working day life, working life, day to day isn't perfect. Again, not a surprise. And client-wise, the biggest issue they have is how to handle client expectations, unacceptable client expectations, and which I think is a whole other discussion point in itself. But I think consistent with what, you know, what life feels like working in an agency, we're there to serve the clients. It's sometimes hard to manage that. But we have to do that. We have to do it to run successful agency businesses.
Well, but it needs a good client agency charter, doesn't it? It's got to be mutual respect both ways. You know, just little things like saying thank you can make a huge difference.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, I think in the agency world, being brilliant client handlers is both one of the greatest strength and potentially the greatest weakness, because
I'd argue you're a brilliant client handler, you have to say no sometimes.
Absolutely agree. But I think it's I don't think there's many people that wouldn't have experienced those times when you cave just to keep the client happy, right? And I think this cohort, interestingly, who are senior in agency business, are the one, you know, they're identifying that as an issue. And perhaps that's got worse during COVID or after, since COVID.
I don't know. I'd be interested to, I mean, we're going to come back and follow some of these issues up, aren't we? Yeah. But I would like to think that clients are more aware of that, of those problems than ever. Potentially more understanding of them. And I also do definitely think agencies are better employers now than they've probably ever been. I'm not naive enough to suggest that they're perfect employers, but I think they're much better than they have been, certainly during my time in public relations, which I'm afraid goes back about 20 years. What's your third trend, Will?
Yeah, just the last point that you've made me think, actually, Ben, that would be an interesting thing to take further, actually. What did COVID do to that in terms of making it better or worse? Because you're right, in one sense, COVID was a great leveler, wasn't it? Everyone was in the same boat. So perhaps things have improved slightly. Still, it's a point that they
have. I mean, there's this current debate, endless debate about how often you'd be in the office and
yeah.
Again, it's so personal what's better for the different types of people and different companies. But yeah, no, you're quite right. Your third trend, go on.
The third trend was this is where it gets more interesting, I think. They lack confidence in their own ability to grasp the business of PR. They, you know, while they have a deep understanding of the client's business, often they know, you know, often these people will know the client business better than the client, I think you could sometimes say. They're not confident about the business aspects of their own PR agency. Which I think...
Does that mean the financial elements?
The financial elements for sure, I think... PR people are usually words people, I think, and the ability to read a spreadsheet is potentially an issue. But I think, you know, there's that shift that these people have made, you know, some of them probably quite recently when they've moved up the ranks and into sort of director level roles where they have to turn to focus on the business of the business, and they're not necessarily prepared for that. They identify that as a struggle. And related to that, I guess they struggle be able to feel they can be confident about future proofing the agency, which is really interesting as well, I guess, is that strategic piece.
Well, they're really important as well, aren't they? Because quite often these things, the current leaders, their body of work is now in the past. But you know the commercial world and the communications world is changing very quickly. So you need your next the future leaders of the agency to embrace probably digital skills more effectively than the previous generation of leaders, if you like.
For sure. Actually, one of the minor points I forgot to mention earlier was that these people say that they worry about data. Their understanding of data and how best to use it and how to use it in measurement as well. So that speaks to that point too, I think.
Right. And your fourth trend, can I use it?
They're very keen to widen their horizons. They want to improve. I think they sort of on average see themselves as slightly above average currently, but want to be well above average. And that again probably speaks to your confidence point. They may be sort of talking themselves down slightly there, but they definitely want to improve.
We all need a little bit of insecurity to drive us on, I think.
You probably did right. But interestingly, I think they want to get out of their own agency echo chamber and interact with industry peers, with peers in similar roles in other agencies and beyond. And they don't interact with that. That's the stakeholder group they say they interact with least. I think that's actually really important.
Media more than they do with their peers.
Media, they don't either. These are people that are sort of, you know, which there's another whole interesting discussion point there, I think, around. But I guess these people have usually moved beyond the day to day media. You know, their teams do the media sell-ins, etc. But you know, is that the way it should be? That's a question as well, I think.
So I'm trying to work out who they do talk to on a day to day basis. But anyway. we've got lots to talk about, so just wrap up on your five trends.
And the fifth one is again probably unsurprising, because I guess it was ever thus, but they just don't have enough time. They don't have enough time. Day-to-day life is completely hectic. They don't have anything beyond the day-to-day. And even actually post-COVID, when everything's sort of back to quote-unquote normal in the hybrid world, they cite lack of face-to-face time with all stakeholder groups as an ongoing issue as well.
Okay. That's interesting, isn't it? I mean, we are a time-poor workforce, generation within the workforce, aren't we, it seems to me. I mean, it's so hard to know what our parents were doing, isn't it? But I don't know. I watched my dad come home at about sort of 5:30, 6 every night. It seemed to me a pretty reliable thing. And of course, you didn't have mobile phones. So when you were home, you were home. You didn't have laptops. You know what I mean? So it was a very different, the way the working environment and the working routine that we're all learning to live around is very different from what it was a generation ago, isn't it? I'm not sure it's better or worse.
Well, you know what, but then it's changed, you know, even between that, if most of these people were sort of between 35 and 50, then most of these people in their early days in the agency life, you know, you could walk into any agency office at 8 o'clock on a midweek evening and the place would be full with people still working, you know. And now I think you hear a lot of talk, talking to people around in leadership positions that, the younger lot now, they say my contract says I finish at 5:30, so see you later, I'm out the door. So it's changed again.
I'm going to show my old school nature. I'm not always sure that's the way to go, but there'll be plenty of people who think it is. So I shall leave that podcast for another day. Now, Will, you've been an observer of PR in the London market mainly for the last 25 years or so. You've worked in-house in your early career. You've worked at agency side for probably the majority of it, certainly in the more recent past. When agencies have done well, and when I say well, I mean scaled and grown quickly, what have you observed that they tend to do right?
I think it really is genuinely around leadership. Around great leadership, and what great leadership is in an agency environment is, I guess, you know, PR is a team sport. We operate as teams, we succeed as teams. We'll sort of and to create a correct team environment, it can't all be about the founder or the head of the agency. And so it's got to start from there. I think the best leaders and the ones that do drive proper growth know how to empower their team. What's that old saying about, you know, always hire people that are smarter than you? I think the great leaders absolutely do that, but then they also empower those people to then lead and deliver themselves. So it's very much an environment where teams are encouraged to be part of part of the success to genuinely genuinely lead, and it's not all sitting right. one person. I think that's genuinely important. I think you can
style is vital to the whole thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And conversely, when they fall off that low growth line, which always happens in the end, yeah, let's get it right. Any common trends, common traits, I should say, in the mistakes they tend to make?
Well, I think it's really, I would sort of stay with that same theme, Ben, and say, because a key part of what I was just talking about requires a really strong succession plan. You've got to be identifying who are the people that are going to come through and start to take over. You then need to empower them and to help them get the skills that they need.
And keep them happy. Yeah.
And I think the ones that the ones that break down aren't thinking about, it's basically, I think you sort of have to be, it's funny, on the PR agency side, ego's unhelpful.
And there's a huge amount of ego in
there. So I think, to get philosophical for a minute, I had a really interesting podcast the other day about, and I can't remember who the hell it was, who was talking now, but it was around happiness, how to be properly happy. It was Scott Galloway, actually. He was talking with someone, and this guy was saying, talking to old middle-aged men like me, I guess, in particular, saying, how should we make sure that we're happier? And the key thing was learn to make yourself small. Like, be part of something that's bigger than you. It's not so that life's not all about you and your needs and your requirements. And I thought, well, that's a really powerful insight, I thought, or sort of guidance. But that applies in the PR agency world, actually. It's not a single person thing. It's very much a team sport. So we're in this together. You've got to create that feel, that sort of environment where everyone is a part of making this thing work.
Yeah. I mean, just a few thoughts for me on where I see it come unstuck.
Go on.
Is culture and the next, when those next leaders come through within agency businesses, they are vital, aren't they? Because the founder at some point has to hand over the baton. And that's when very often it gets really interesting from a growth perspective, because related to your point, you can't really scale it if you're just a one person, machine, not literally, but you know where I'm going with it. And so often those sort of second generation appointments don't quite work out, do they? And it's a tough one to get right, don't get me wrong. And on the other side of that, nobody goes to work to make the founder a millionaire. That's the other point, isn't it? And I'm surprised more leaders, especially on the independents, don't really properly get that. You do probably need to share a little bit and give a bit away or whatever else. And then very often the sum of the parts can become greater.
Yeah, for sure. That's true. I think, but you're right. I in my years at Nelson Bostock, I loved being there because the culture was so strong, because Martin and Roger from founding had created a brilliant culture. And I felt when I was in a leadership position there that one of my key roles, almost the key role, was to be guardian of the culture, of the brand and the culture. So you're right. That absolutely needs, but there's a balance again on that too, isn't it? Because you want to make sure you're always shaking yourselves up and keeping fresh as well. So,
When PR firms are acquired by private equity companies, that becomes even more difficult. But that's probably one for another day.
Yeah, don't get me started on that, Ben.
Describe the skills and attributes as you see it then, bringing, I suppose, the last couple of themes of those questions together. What do you see as the skills and attributes of a modern PR leader? What does that look like?
Well, I'm going to steal someone else's thinking here, because I heard I was listening to a really interesting podcast this week, actually, with an ex-Navy SEAL guy who's quite obviously a tough guy, called Jocko Willink. He was brilliant name, and he's he looks like a Navy SEAL too, and you wouldn't want to cross him in the night. But he provides sort of leadership consultancy, I think, now in America. And he was sort of saying that he said something really good, I think, that applied in the Navy SEALs but applies in the business world. And that was, as a great leader, you need to, back to the point I was saying earlier about you need to empower your, you know, he referred to them as his direct subordinates, but, you know, you need to empower your leadership team. And he said, they need to be looking down and in, while him as leader needs to be looking up and out. And I thought that was absolutely beautiful, actually, because, and it sort of fits with the research findings, I think, as well, because I think the research findings to me say that agencies are getting that right largely, in a sense that these people that our agency leader at the moment are focused on making sure the business happens, the PR work gets done brilliantly and all of that. But he was saying he would always, rather than him write a plan of, you know, for an attack or whatever, he would get one of his subordinates to write the plan, because he said he didn't want to be in the plan. He wanted to be able to view the plan and alter. And he said if the subordinate came back, if the guy came, if a director for, you know, in the PR agency world came back with a plan that was sort of 70% there, then he'd throw in a question, send them back, and if it came back at 80, he'd say, let's go for it, let's do that. If it was less than that, he'd send them back to the drawing board. But I sort of thought that's really, really interesting to take into the agency world, because you do need someone focused on the long term. Where are we going in 3 to 5 years? Mm. You know, what are the
that role? You don't have one person looking at the, even if you're a founder, the roles get broken up, don't they?
You need, they do. They absolutely, you
know, like, so much of your role, my role, leader, you're looking at the now, you're also looking at the 6 months, 1 year, 2 years.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a more complicated moving thing than...
I know, yeah, it totally is. And but I think that, and I think, you know, when Rachel Bell talks in PR Moment Leaders, I think she's very clear on how you need to produce a 3 to 5 year plan, break that into annual plans, and have the leadership team in full referring to it month by month by month, and making sure that things are moving. So absolutely, but yeah, I guess it's just been very clear that there is a there is that sort of tactical strategic split that you need to, and it doesn't sit with individuals. You're 100%, you're completely correct. But both focuses need to have, you know, you need someone being very focused on where we're headed big picture wise and how we're differentiating, while you need delivery, you know, excellent delivery as well. So so you're dealing with people, so it's not a science. But I thought he really made me think, talking about that. It felt like I guess the key word was empowerment, I think, which is a better way of looking at delegation, I think. But it's basically delegation. You've got to be able to be to delegate, which means letting go and trusting your people.
Definitely. Just go back to the research before we wrap it up. The specialization came through a bit, didn't it? And it just made me think about how PR firms have spent, I don't know, probably the best part of 10 years playing around with their structure a little bit, not completely, but a little bit, to try and replicate that setup of specialization that you have within ad agencies. And the jury, until about six months ago, maybe a year ago, I thought that was always, as long as you had a sufficient scale to make it work financially, I couldn't really see how that wasn't a good idea. But there's a little bit of stuff going on that I've seen in the last 6 months, a year, that just suggests that's not necessarily the right move for PR, because there's a bit of magic in that PR agency structure that we perhaps underestimated.
Yeah, I very much so, Ben. It's a really, really interesting topic. And I think, much like the world's trying to figure, the wider world, not just PR, trying to figure out how to make hybrid work optimally now, it is interesting that there's a range, I guess there's a range from remaining, everyone does everything as complete generalists in a PR agency, to rigidly imposed, process-based ad agency world where a brief gets dropped into the planning team that then produces another brief that goes to creative that then blah, 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 goes on and on and on and takes a minimum of 3 weeks to get turned around. Whereas PR agencies with every, you know, in a generalist situation can turn around a response to a brief so much more quickly, but without the rigor, I guess, potentially.
Yeah, but the other bit is that just drilling and I suppose thinking about it, and I'm not sure this works for every specialism, but let's go with creative for a moment because it's one that probably people are most familiar with when they're in their day-to-day roles. If you have a creative department that's separate from the account team, in a PR environment, and there are exceptions to this because there are some people who are brilliant at it, but in general rule of thumb terms, the PR environment, that is not always a healthy thing, is it? Because a lot of the magic for the creative ideas come from the account teams because they see the day-to-day. PR people tend to be quite creative people anyway, which doesn't demean the role of the creative director because he or she is still has an important role when it comes to creating a culture and potentially a process behind the creative ideas within an agency. But if you, they don't want to be that the only element of creativity within a PR agency, because that probably isn't an environment where you're going to come up with the best work, is it?
No, yeah, for sure. I think that perhaps an even bigger risk is the minute you create a specialism in that sense. Okay, we have an executive creative director and we have a creative team. That team, account teams, are probably liable or very much tempted to outsource creativity, aren't they? Well, okay, that's their responsibility. And I think, that's very much a case of being careful. You just have to be careful with this stuff, I guess, because also I think it is smart, though, to look to specialise here and there where appropriate. I mean, if you just think of planning, for example, I think PR planners are some of the best planners, on the planet, really, actually. I think that they're very valuable. And I've seen...
It's complicated, isn't it? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh,
both. I could argue, in a debate, I could argue both ways. It's complicated. Yeah. So you really, the devil is in the detail and the specifics and the situation you find yourself in and the people you've got.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that I tell you, basically, though, the key driver, I think, there's basically a beautiful sweet spot between old school PR and ad agency world. Somewhere in the middle there's a beautiful sweet spot. Because if you go back a little while, in the PR industry, if someone wasn't brilliant at everything, they weren't taken forward. They wouldn't advance. They have to be good at everything, you know. Whereas these days, someone who...
It's the most unrealistic possibility ever. I mean, just never was incredible.
Really. I think we're finally, over the last few years, and some agencies well ahead of that, leant into going, okay, you're brilliant. Planner, you're rubbish at client handling or anything, but we're not going to put you in front of clients. We're going to we're going to maximize you what you're great at, and then figure out how to make that work around you. I think
Adam Mack is at Hope and Glory now. He's a really good one of the top planners in PR, UK PR. I think he's got a nice line. He's never written a press release in his life.
Yeah, that's great. And actually, do you remember James Gordon McIntosh? We did a thing at the Growth Forum in November. I remember James saying he's executive creative director at Hope and Glory, founder, and he said if he was founding the agency today, he wouldn't create that role.
No. Just finally then, before we wrap this up, just tell us, talk to me about what PR Leaders is all about, and how you hope it can help PR find its PR leaders of tomorrow.
Firstly, Ben, I'm really enjoying being part of it. I think that joining you in that world where you get to look across the landscape, across the industry.
Yeah, it's a fun world, isn't it? It is really a fun world.
I feel like I've come out of a bunker. and you know, and talking to great agency leaders around the place, I'm really, really enjoying. And there's lots of a lot of the stuff we've been talking about now is the stuff we've been talking with people about. And and it's great to hear those different views out there and to be sort of agnostic now. You know, I'm really enjoying that. But I guess to go back to the research, we sort of, as you said at the start, we sort of we look into doing that to sort of do a bit of a sanity check on what we wanted to do with PR leaders. And I'm even, it's great because I feel, you know, it helped me be even more convinced that focusing sort of bespoke training on senior people in PR business is something they seek to help them get. Are able to do, you know, to tackle the strategic stuff that they feel are unable to do now, and to prepare them for leadership, to take the reins of agencies. That's what we're doing with the program. I mean, and the fact that it's subscription based and it's focused on quality rather than quantity. So we want, you know, we don't want to take up too much of people's time, but we want when they are with us that's very, very valuable time, and that they're learning things that they can take, that they help them grow as individuals, and that they can take back into their agencies and help make their agencies better as well. It's really cool to be setting that up. I'm really excited about the first semester masterclasses getting going in May. It's going to be great.
I was going to say, when does it start? Run into semesters, isn't it? Three different semesters throughout the year, and the first semester starts when?
The first masterclass starts on Wednesday, the 1st of May. Rachel Bell will be starting the whole thing off with, in style, I think, by...
On how to build and develop your agency business.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that masterclass starts in early May, but people can sign up now, right? Because there's a whole bunch of information on the site. You can do a skill audit. You can look at some different skill-based webinars. There's a mentoring element to it as well. So, we'd encourage people to kind of have a look.
We've got an MD, agency MD signed up. We've got most of the people signed up already are director level. And they're people that, you know, they've been great at training people under them for a long time. But they're so excited about doing some training that's really focused on them, bespoke for, you know, their world. And I'll tell you the other thing, Ben, is that they're really, really excited about that piece actually that fits with the research as well. They're really, really into being able to network, to engage with a community of sort of peers from across the industry. And I'm really looking forward to the discussion and debates we'll be having within that community, both around the masterclasses and sort of ongoing. They're all really, really excited about that.
Because it doesn't, if anyone hasn't seen it, it includes a ticket to a conference once a year. I think it's twice yearly networking sessions. And there's a Slack community, which is sort of supports and has this discussion around the group as well, isn't there? If you're interested in PR Moment Leaders, we'll clearly keep a link on the show notes. Will's details will be on there as well, so you can get in touch with him for any questions you may have. Will Hart, CEO of PR Moment Leaders, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you very much, Ben. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to the PR Moment podcast, produced in association with the Marketeers Network.
If you'd enjoyed the show, please do review us on iTunes and give us a decent rating.